I don't know about that full strength thing. What do you think, Lynn? Full strength? Momo's on, John's on vacation, and Mace is having technical difficulties. So you're going to have to fill me in on what's going on with Passing Gate, Lindsay. What's going on with Passing Gate? Lindsay, Fulton, where are you at? All right, we're going to get caught up. Momo's here. Mace is trying to reconnect here. And J.R. Smith, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, is officially a member of the Lakers. They're closing in on signing him now this morning. And it is going to be Dion Waiters, J.R. Smith, Anthony Davis, LeBron James eventually. But, I know we saw the bike ride, Linz. Are you there, Funch? Are you there?
I'm here now.
All right, you're here. So fill me in. What's going on? What's going on in Passing Gate? We had this big tease, got everybody excited. You might know the ending to that one.
Well, to make a long story short, we had Passing on about a month ago with John and Steve, and about 3 minutes into the call, Passing hung up on us. Right, Funch?
Right.
He's got the audio. So Passing hangs up and says he was going to call us back. Never called us back. Never heard from him again. And so I've been efforting for like a month to try and get Passing on, but you know, he's on a million things. He's on SportsCenter. He's on First Take. He's everywhere. He's on ESPN 24/7. So it's hard to kind of nail him down to get him on the show for a hit. So we finally got Passing to on the show on Friday, which of course Passing wasn't here. Oh, there's
up,
Mace.
Hello? Yeah. Well, Momo had to start up the show and you gave this whole big tease about Passing Gate. And there's a big update to it, and I don't know the update. So you got to fill us in.
I don't know the story at all. I know that I got a text from Passing on Friday. Let me see if I can find it. It's it says, "Hey buddy, it's Jeff Passing. Should have sent you an apology text long ago. Not my style to hang up mid segment like that, and wouldn't have if it wasn't urgent. Looking forward to chatting next time."
Oh, that's nice.
You know what, boys? Can I call you back? I actually have to grab this. That is the best. That's the only time that's ever happened in my career.
But he actually did say, "Can I call you back?"
But he never called back.
But he didn't call back. That was the catch. He never did call back.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to stick up for Passing, though, because I've been that girl, like
how
that reporter girl.
Passing?
When there's really big... No, like when there's really big news happening and you're on a radio interview, you just gotta deal with it. Like if you're waiting for that big call and you get it, now you might be tied up for like 45 more minutes doing
back,
the news.
Or you send a text.
You send a text, yeah.
You send a text.
Yeah. How long into the interview were you?
2 minutes.
Oh, so it wasn't like he did most of it. Okay, yeah, it was like right off the top. Okay.
No, it was like almost right off the top. Like, sorry, boys, I got to call you right back.
Yep. I've done that before in an interview, but it hasn't been like right off the top. And I usually warn the radio people who it was, right? I usually warn, like, hey, I might have to take stuff. It's like Fast and Furious breaking news time. And then it's not that big a deal. I feel like I've done that to you. I feel like I did that to you or Ireland once. I remember there was some Lakers stuff that I had to like get up in the middle of the show and handle.
Well, we had Passing on the show on Friday. We finally tracked him down.
Okay.
Wait a minute. You had him on without me?
Yes. And so, you know, John went into the whole Passing Gate spiel, and Clinton Gates was filling in for Mace. And so he goes into the whole Passing Gate spiel about how, you know, all of this stuff happened, as you guys just explained. And Clinton's like, or John mentioned, you know, he was, I think he was upset and he took it personal because he said that him and Passing had a moment because they had recently, I guess over the past season, met outside of Dodger Stadium, and Clinton was the one who introduced them. So then we find that Clinton is like the key cog in the whole Passing Gate thing because, you know, he introduced them. Now they're friends. They're cool. But then they're really not because Passing hung up mid-segment. So anyway, we talked a little baseball with them. And then at the end of the segment, Passing had a message that he wanted us to play for you, Mace.
Ooh.
Good. Play it. So can I just say one thing here? Mace, I'm not apologizing at all. I very much enjoyed our interaction outside of Dodger Stadium. You have a spectacular head of hair that I'm still jealous of all this time later. But let me tell you, you got to know where your bread's buttered, buddy. And until you start buttering the bread, I hate to say it, but you're not going to get the call back.
Oh!
What does that mean, buttering the bread?
He said that ESPN is the one who pays him and not us, so.
We are ESPN.
You're right, yeah. We are.
It's true. Like I get paid by both. Like, so I'm more loyal to ESPN. Like, Lindsay knows I've turned down like way more things, right? Like I've shoved national radio to the side so that I can do ESPN LA. I do that quite frequently. I've moved things for you guys, and I do it because I'm part of you guys. Passan gets paid by ESPN, so he's probably a little more loyal to the national site. He's more like loyal that way.
Perfect.
Even though. That's still not good karma.
Can I break away from this for just a second and say something?
Yeah.
So, obviously, I'm on a phone as opposed to on our fancy piece of machinery. And I'm pretty sure I've done everything right. And Lindsay is going to claim that I did something to screw it up.
You know, I don't know what's wrong because I'm not going to blame you. I mean, it could be something silly as, like, the guys outside your house that were – I heard construction beeps – earlier when we were doing our prep call. I don't know, maybe they knocked down a line or something.
No, we're on internet. We are on internet. It's got to be at your end. It's got to be at your end on this one.
So usually whenever I have a technical problem, I have a really advanced solution. I just turn it off and turn it back on again. And then it usually works.
Five times I've done this. But Lindsay's still going to blame me.
I'm not blaming you yet. I'll wait until we get the solution because there's been a few times where once Mason, he unaccidentally kicked the power cord. And then another time he didn't have the internet connected to it. So
I acknowledge that. I'll wait
until after we find the solution. No blame being cast yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just felt bad I couldn't pay off the Chris Morales tease. Like, I was like, I don't know what happened on Passing Gate. We just had this big, exciting.
Oh, Morales' tease. Oh, yeah.
I know. And then I was like, Lindsay, fill me in. And you weren't on. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll start talking about J.R. Smith at this point. Because I don't know the answer to the tease.
Hey, take that.
Solo radio show, Momo?
Oh, it's terrifying.
It's a totally different experience.
Oh, man, terrifying. Especially when I'm not, like, thinking I'm doing that today. Like, I can definitely cover for you if you, like, take too long coming back from the bathroom or something, you know, on a break. But, like, off the top of the show, pay off a tease where I don't actually know what the payoff is. That was a little awkward. But
So I listened to part of the show last week. And, you know, because I was in town. I was, working in the yard and doing all kinds of stuff. I was stoned the entire time. I'll just be frank and say I was completely baked for 4 days. So
sounds about right.
But I did.
Yeah.
I did listen to part of the show. And you know what I got tired of hearing? Mm. I got tired of hearing, if it works.
Uh-huh.
I want to live in a world where we don't have to worry about if it works. Let's try living in that world for the day.
In other words, we're just going to be optimists and decide it's going to work?
We're going to decide that it is going to, we're going to decide that Galaxy plays LAFC 14 days, 2 weeks from today. That MLB is back in 25 days. That NBA is back, Lakers versus Clippers in 31 days. We are not going to use the phrase, if it works.
Cool. I want to parse that though, because I am an optimist as well.
Here
Mace.
You go. Stanford I know. Wants to parse it.
Sorry. I believe the NBA's plan will work. I have far less confidence in anyone else's plan. Oh, MLS. Okay. I'll believe in them too, but I have far less confidence in whatever the hell football is doing. I don't know what they're doing, but I think they're kind of in denial. They're just pretending the virus will not be a factor, even though it's going to be a factor. Baseball kind of seems the same way to me. Like they have some ideas, you know.
Pretty much. When I just said, let's just talk about it and forget about if it works, you immediately went down that road.
I said,
your reaction.
My reaction was, I will go there with you on the Lakers and the MLS and the Clippers and the rest of the NBA. Like the people who have done really thoughtful, studies on how to do this safely and plan this all out to the point where I think it's probably going to be a little overkill in terms of, you know, safety stuff. I believe in them.
Well, wait, Ramona, if I may.
Yeah.
As of today, today is June 29th, 2020.
Yeah.
As of today, like Mace just said, we've got MLS starting up in 2 weeks. We've
I believe
got baseball starting soon. We've got NBA starting soon. So as of today, everything is going to go on as scheduled, as planned. And I think everybody's kind of sick of the whole if and when pandemic sports talk radio. So let's for today,
Yeah, you know, it's called the if and when sports pandemic radio.
So I should pretend I am an NFL executive who's just deciding it's going to happen no matter what. Okay, I can go with you on that. You want me to just, I'll play that role. Okay. Let's do it.
Talk sports. I think we're a sports talk station, and it's going to worry about.
All right, I'll go with you.
I think I'm officially on, although I've got an echo.
Oh, I hear you good now. We're all good.
Oh my gosh, you sound so much better.
Yeah, there we go. I fixed it.
See? Bunch, were you listening to my my open there where I was like, "Who's on the radio with me? Is it just me?" Did you
yes,
hear that part?
Scared 30 seconds right there. Yes,
the scared 30 seconds of like, "Is Lindsay here? Are you there, Funch? Somebody talk to me."
He hangs on here now. We're all good.
We'll have to play it back for Mace at some point so he can laugh at me thoroughly.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Not terribly impressive.
Okay, so what I was saying on my phone just a minute ago, I'm now going to say on the magic radio machine.
Sounds so much better.
Can we not go through a show and not say if it works?
Okay.
Like, I am going on the assumption because baseball comes with natural social distancing. I'm not going to debate football.
Okay.
But because baseball comes with natural social distancing, then it's going to work. Now, our guy's going to test positive. Yep, it's going to happen. Our guy's going to show up at camp and have negative and have positive COVID tests. Absolutely. Is somebody going to get sick during the year? Yep, probably. But you're carrying 50-man rosters. I think there's a way to do it so that it works.
All right. I like being optimistic like that. I don't know if it's realistic, but I can go with optimism because I tend to be an optimistic person as well. I think that you create what we're going to think it into existence.
Yes. Yes. Now, MLS has an even tighter bubble than NBA.
Yeah.
Do you know that they've got closed circuit cameras? So that nobody can leave the bubble.
All right, I have.
They're calling it luxury jail.
Luxury jail. It's kind of like it's like one of those white collar prisons you go to if you have a really good lawyer.
Correct.
That's like
where
that?
Lori Loughlin goes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's where Lori Loughlin and Massimo are right now. But they're really, really locked down in an unbelievably tight way. The NBA is not going to be that locked down.
So I don't think the NBA needs to because there's social media and cell phone cameras. If you get out, somebody's going to see you.
Hmm. You think so?
I think so. I mean, I'm sure that there are dark corners of the woods to hide in or whatever there is down in Orlando.
Because I'll tell you, I am of this belief, Momo. I am of this belief that the NBA will succeed or fail based on the sanctity of the bubble, based on how seriously people take it.
Right.
Because if guy X on the bench sneaks out, picks up COVID somehow, brings it back to his team, pass it along to other players, that's where the NBA is going to run into problems. So the sanctity of the bubble is really important, and everybody's got to buy into that one through 17.
So I
I'm stopping you now. I'm stopping you now. We're not doing this, right?
No, we're deciding.
We're not doing what?
We're not doing pandemic talk,
I'm going to tell you why it's going to work. I'm going to tell you why it's going to work, Lance. It's going to work because the NBA players are some of the most disciplined, committed athletes I've been around. Okay. I think when they want to train, when they're getting into shape, when they're eating the right diet, I mean, you should see they get, you know, trainers to prepare foods and tell them what to eat and all that. Those guys do it. I see it in the Laker locker room there. They're drinking the grass fed milk smoothies with the whatever, you know, I mean, they're committed. I mean, there's JaVale McGee is vegan and all, you know, all these guys, they're so committed to all their stuff. So if you have that level of discipline with other things, I think you're going to take a lockdown seriously. I think you're going to take the bubble seriously.
Do you think we just slid into pandemic talk again?
Yeah, I think we did.
Okay, you're right. You're right. Okay, so coming up
next. So you want to actually talk basketball.
Yeah, coming up next, let's talk some baseball first.
Ooh,
let's do
like
some baseball first. Baseball's coming back on July the 24th, and I've done some research, looked at the Dodgers, who've got an unbelievable amount of depth. But there's one factor that is going to be the key to being successful in a 60-game season. Momo, do you know what it is?
You're going to have to tell me.
I'll tell you next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So what is going on? It is Monday, and all accounted for. John Ireland is off this week. He's off playing golf at Pebble Beach. Momo's here.
Yeah.
Lindsay's here. Funch is here. Funch running on a delay. Yeah. All right, so...
Super
here
excited.
Is let's talk about some Dodgers.
Yeah,
I have been saying for a while now, Momo, and see if you agree with me that this is going to be very, very difficult for the Dodgers. More difficult than a 162 game season, because 60 games is a sprint. 60 games, absolutely anything can happen. They've got a lot of depth, but you lose 7 out of 10, you lose 12 out of 14. All of a sudden, you're in a hole and you're trying to dig out. It was 2 years ago. The Dodgers, I think, were 32-28 after 60 games. That would have been enough to get into the playoffs, but not enough to win the division. To me, it's going to be very, very difficult to run through a 60-game season and absolutely get a playoff spot.
Well, I think it's really it's just there's so much variability in 60 games. I mean, you could see one team that just has a bunch of young guys get off to a hot start, and before the league has a book on how to pitch these guys, they're you know 35-15 or 45-15, right? 60 games that could easily happen. Whereas that usually corrects out and evens out over time, because when the Dodger front office started out a couple years ago, they used to talk about organizational depth,
and it was like organizational depth. Yeah,
it was a concept. We were like, who cares about the third relief pitcher that you have coming back and forth between AAA and the Dodgers? Right, like remember Farhan Zaidi would call it a needle moving move. This isn't a needle moving move, but
a lot of those little wiggles that they pulled, Chris Taylor, Max Muncy, those were those 4A players. They were able to identify those guys.
Yeah.
And they do believe in depth. And I will grant you, you know, if you look at it, they got Muncy and Matt Beatty and Edwin Rios can play first and second. They can play Lux and Muncy and Kike and Chris Taylor, shortstop, Seager, Taylor, Lux, Kike. I mean, they've got a lot of depth that they can work from. Rotation-wise, Kershaw, Buehler, David Price, Julio Urias, Alex Wood, probably the starting rotation to start the year. But they got Chicken Strip, they got Dustin May, they got Tony Gonsolin, they added Blake Treinen to the bullpen. I mean, they are absolutely loaded, and yet, if it was a 162-game season, I would say the Dodgers will win the division by 20 games. But in a 60-game season, I think they'll win the division, but it's going to be close. It's not going to be a blowout.
Usually the teams that sprint out fast, they hit that summer heat. They don't have the same organizational depth. They have a couple of injuries. They can't replace that production, or just guys fizzle out. I mean, there's so many players who have great first halves, and they even make an all-star team. Remember Matt Kemp a couple of years ago? Matt Kemp is back. And then he hit the all-star break, and it was like, Matt Kemp is done, right? I mean, it was very quick from back to done, because you can't sustain it over the course of a year. And you know, pitchers figure out how to pitch you. You have so many – there's just so many other things that can happen over the course of 162, which is how the Dodgers have been constructed. They've been constructed to win over a large period of games, over a larger sample size. So this is a crapshoot. I mean, this is – it's the difference between – being a professional poker player at the table, knowing that you're going to be a disciplined blackjack player and play by the book no matter what, you have a pretty good odds. and then just sitting down and playing four hands.
Yeah, you don't know. They basically get to play 37% of their schedule.
Oof.
Just 37% of their schedule. And it's where you land. Like, for example, of the 10 teams that would have made the playoffs after 60 games last year, three of them collapsed in the second half.
Wow.
And wouldn't have made the playoffs at all over 162. The Washington Nationals, who won the World Series, got off to that terrible, terrible start. They wouldn't have made the playoffs after 60 games last year. Over 162, they were able to scrap their way back into a wild card and actually get in and win the World Series. So 60 games is an absolute crapshoot. Here's a question. What number do you think leads the league in home runs this year?
60 games.
60 games. What number leads the league in home runs?
I'm going to say like 28.
28 seems high to me. That's
you think less?
That's almost a homer a game.
No, 28 and 60 games. That's a homer every two games.
A homer every other game. Homer every other game. I think it's going to be more like, you say 28. I think it's going to be more like 22 or 23. 23 homers, I think, is going to lead the league in home runs.
It depends on how good a shape everyone's in. I mean, we also have to factor in that they're going to have a pretty abbreviated schedule here. Like, they're not having a normal spring training. They're not having a normal ramp up to the season. This is all based on, like, how, you know, when we had Kenley Jansen on the show last week, he said, "I'm ready to pitch tomorrow. I've been throwing live BPs for months." Yeah, but that's a little different than throwing spring training games, that then, you know, ramping up. That usually they pace yourself a little bit. Pitchers are always a little ahead of hitters when they come into the season. Like,
who knows
where have the hitters been taking BP? I mean, are they able to take live BP?
Right,
are
of course, everybody's going to have to face an extra hitter because of the universal DH.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of variables. The biggest variable of all, the one that is going to be the most important word this year in Major League Baseball, is injury. Because if you break a wrist, or if you strain an oblique, or if you pull a hamstring, and you're gone 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, that's basically the season. You can miss the entire season with one injury.
Yeah, you get a
hamstring. That's why depth is going to be so important. The Dodgers do have that organizational depth, and they really do. But other teams, I mean, you can lose a player for the season very, very easily.
So you and I know this because we play in our fantasy baseball league. And There's always a player that gets, when there's an injury, there's a player that gets called up, a hot prospect, and a lot of times they get off to a really hot start because there's no book on them, because nobody knows what to do. And they start off so strong, and you just want to make sure you have that player on your team right off the bat, but you want to drop them before they totally fizzle out.
Before they fall apart, sure.
Right. And it's a pretty common thing. That's going to happen, except for there's not even time for them to fizzle out. Like, you have an injury, the person you plug in there, if they get it going, that could be a replacement right there.
Yeah,
bring up some minor leaguer and he plays 20 good games and that's it. That's all you need.
Yeah, it's all you need is one good hot streak from a player. If you get an injury, look out, because it will tilt the season upside down. If somebody like Max Scherzer gets hurt, if somebody like Justin Verlander gets hurt, if somebody like Cody Bellinger gets hurt or Clayton Kershaw gets hurt, you have the potential of missing the entire season and into the postseason. So staying healthy, I think, is going to be the single most important thing for every team to do. And they're going to have to stay healthy now, despite the fact that their spring training has been limited.
Limited, and baseball players, being creatures of habit, don't like to have any deviation from what they're used to. I think the other thing too, Mace, when you look at the, when you start to see guys, like if they have a nagging injury, if they have an injury, and let's say your team gets off to a tough start. Let's say you're 10 and 20 and you're outside of you're halfway through, you're 10 and 20. You're not going to make it. You're just playing out the string and you turn an ankle. You just shut it down. Like, there's going to be a lot of players that are like, I'm not going to just keep doing this for a stupid season. for a 60-game season that we don't have any chance in.
That's a really interesting point. You're right. If you're 10-20 and you tweak an ankle, there's no urgency for you to come back.
Right. Because your team's not going to be able to come back.
It's your team's not going to climb out of a 10-20.
It's the difference between a, like, when you're a 400-meter runner and you have a bad start, you just might as well stop running because you're not going to catch them in that amount of time. When you're an 800-meter runner and you have a bad start, you might be able to catch up.
You can rebound from that, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's I think it's going to be fascinating to watch, and I think it's going to be fascinating to see the way the Dodgers handle it. I don't want to be a downer. I still think the Dodgers will win the division. I'm just saying you got to be prepared for anything. You got to be prepared for anything, and particularly injury. Injury, hot streaks, cold streaks, those are the things that you got to watch for in this upcoming shortened season, which starts in on July the 23rd, July the 24th.
Whew. The season's
coming fast.
Walk me through this again. When are they officially starting spring training? They're having a couple of weeks here, right?
Spring training, they are supposed to be reporting.
July 1st, right?
Yeah, July 1st. So that is
this week?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
So, there are going to be a bunch of positive coronavirus tests and all that stuff. We're completely accepting that. But I still believe, I have faith that there's going to be baseball. Hey, Momo, I want to talk about J.R. Smith. I also want to talk about Karen.
Oh, yeah, I love talking about Karen.
I want to talk about
I do.
I think everybody knows who Karen is by now.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's Karen, and then if you're a little older, it's like Susan, right?
Isn't
and then
it also Becky sometimes?
Becky, that's the younger version, yeah.
Yeah. So I want to talk about them, because I'm not sure I'm fully clear on exactly what they are. But
I know all about Karen.
Okay, good. We'll talk about Karen and Becky and Susan coming up, along with J.R. Smith. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, what are you guys doing? It is Monday, cranking it up for the holiday week. We're leading up to the 4th of July. Momo's in for John today. And so the Lakers have official, I guess it's not formal, they are, they're almost officially having signed J.R. Smith.
Yeah, I mean, I think we knew that was coming, but it's still kind of bracing to think about that idea.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
It is.
It's and I actually like JR. I'm one of those people who I've done some stories with him before where I've gotten to talk to him. And I think he's a really interesting guy. I've always thought that he's a little misunderstood because people just kind of see the Shaq and the Fool stuff. Like the same way JaVale McGee, you know, he gets caught up in some of his bad moments, which I think he just loses focus sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't think he's an airhead. I don't think he's not that whole basketball IQ thing. I just think he had a lapse. I don't think it's because he doesn't understand
basketball.
So you're
saying that one play sort of defined him in the minds of a lot of people.
It did, but it was a confirmation of what people already thought of him.
Yeah, but there was also him riding in on a hoverboard at some point.
And I know.
There's a bunch of goofy stuff that he's
just
done.
He has goofy sort of lack of self-awareness. Some of it, I think, is leaning into his image. But, you know, JR was a high school to the pros guy. He is an incredible athlete. He like all state in basketball, football, baseball. Like, he's like an amazing golfer too. Like, if you just tell him any sport to play and he'll be great. And I think he's just a natural athlete who had basically, you know, not that he didn't work hard or anything, but I think when you're a natural athlete, like, you don't have to have the same level of pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Like, he was just great at everything. And when he got to the league, he just didn't have enough support, guidance, right structures around him. You know, I remember talking to Byron Scott about him when he was in New Orleans. Like, he really would have benefited from just a different situation when he first came into the league. That's actually, though, when he reached out to LeBron, is right after his first year in the league. He knew he needed some mentoring, and he went and trained with LeBron that summer. And it showed me that, like, he does want to do better and be better. He just has these lapses of loses focus, immaturity, lack of self-awareness sometimes. But, you know, I do too, don't you? I mean, do you have moments like that?
No.
Like,
None. I'm locked in all the time at all moments.
Except for the 4 days last week where you were just baked, right? Like,
I mean, yeah, except for those 4 days when I was baked.
Yeah.
I've completely locked in. No, I mean, of course. Yeah. But for him, not being locked in happens on a bigger stage, in a bigger moment, than just, you know, days off. I think that we've all underestimated.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Funch about this. How significant the loss of Avery Bradley is for the Lakers. He was a really good defender. He could line up against some of the smaller guys in the league. Good on Westbrook. Could do, you know, good on Lillard. Good on Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. And that's a guy that they're really going to legitimately miss. And that's obviously a spot that J.R. Smith does not fill.
Yeah, and I think Avery was one of those guys that you didn't have to worry about him offensively. You didn't have to make sure that you got him enough touches so he felt involved.
Correct.
He doesn't have an ego about any of that. He just goes and plays. And I think with JR, you have to involve him. You have to get him going early. The thing is, I'm less worried about whether JR is going to have a mental lapse like he did in game two in the finals a couple of years ago, game one. I'm less worried about that and more just he hasn't played in a year and a half.
Like, yeah.
It's just how rusty is he going to be? I don't care how much you
by the
train,
way, and how rusty,
you are.
And then after just a limited sort of ramp up, which, by the way, I think these eight games that they're going to play leading are going to play out like exhibition games. I don't think teams are going to be sharp and crisp, and I don't think we're necessarily going to see great basketball. It'll be fun to see basketball. I just don't think it'll be great basketball during those eight games, which will serve as kind of a ramp up for the playoffs.
And I got to be honest, the whole reason we're playing those eight games is the players basically said, it's going to be ragged. We haven't played in 4 months. You have like a 2 or 3 week. When all is said and done, it's only going to be like 3 weeks of training camp, of 5-on-5 basketball, because there's one portion of it where you're testing. You're not all the way there yet. Then you have to fly. Then you have to quarantine. There's some wasted time in that. And I know a lot of players are concerned about injury just because of the long layoff and getting back into shape. So I think teams like the Lakers and Clippers who have, I don't want to say insurmountable leads, but they're not really worried about anyone catching that. You know, as long as they just win a couple of those eight games, they shouldn't lose their spot. They're not going to play all their guys the whole time. Nobody's going to go 40 minutes in those games.
I think that's why, and that's why it's nice that the Lakers are sort of situated in that one seed and can't be displaced. And by the way, the Clippers are situated in the two seed. And with eight games to play, they really can't be moved either. Milwaukee can't be moved. The top three teams in the league, the Clippers, the Lakers, and Milwaukee, are all kind of solidified in their seedings. It's those other spots that are going to be interesting. The middle of the West with Utah and with Denver and with Houston and with Oklahoma City. To me, those teams are going to be – it'll be interesting to see the way that all plays out.
So here's the thing. It is – like I had to do one of those 5-on-5s, and they say, which matchups are you watching to see, which seeding things you – and I was like, well, I think the Rockets could really go on a run, and they could move up all the way to the 3 seed. And then I was like, except that totally doesn't matter when there's no home court advantage. that stuff used to matter. It only matters now because you actually would rather be a 6 seed than a 4 or 5 seed, because then you avoid the Lakers in the second round. I mean, there's
so
no home court
be
advantage.
The 6 than the. Well, hang on.
Who cares if you're 4 or 5? Because then you end up playing the
4 or 5. You're going to get the Lakers in the second round.
Yeah, if I'm Houston, I'd rather play the Clippers. I think they're 2-2 against the Clippers.
So you want to dodge the 4-5.
Right. You want to just stay either. You want to move all the way up to 3, or you want to go stay at 6.
Actually, I think Funch has got a piece of sound from Kendrick Perkins today. I think this was on The Jump talking about Houston. Oh, don't have it. Don't have that. But he felt like Houston could get up to get the 3.
Yeah, they can. They're only 2.5 back. And Denver, obviously, we don't know what Jokic's positive test is going to mean. I think he's in really good shape, but he has to quarantine, and it's going to disrupt his travel back to the States. I mean, I don't think he's symptomatic or anything from what I read,
right.
but But still, I mean, anything can happen when there's just eight games and there's 2.5 games separating the 6 seed and the 3 seed in the West.
And it's going to come down to how well conditioned everybody is, how quickly the pieces fit back together. There are going to be a lot of intangibles at play. And also just how hard you worked during your downtime. Did you have access to a court? Did a lot of guys didn't have access to a court. They're not going to be in basketball shape. Maybe the Lakers, and maybe you might know this, there was a rumor circulating that the Lakers may have had some secret games. Do you know anything about that, Momo?
I have heard that circulating. I don't know if that is the truth, right? Like, I've heard it, and we all pursued it a little bit, but it's sort of like impossible to confirm unless you actually show up at the place where they have the secret game and take a picture. And right. I'm going to be really honest. Like, I wasn't out driving around LA looking for that. Like, I'm home. Yeah. I'm home and I have childcare responsibilities and anything that, like, right now, unless we're going to like tail people, you know, like follow LeBron every day. Like, we're not, you know, you'd have to have somebody tip you off to where it was and then sit outside and take a picture to prove it. You can't just report on
well,
it.
That's,
right?
You know what? That's a shoe leather reporting job, Momo.
Yeah. We call it doorstepping. Right?
Doorstepping.
Yeah, you just show up at somebody's doorstep. And I'm a big doorstepper. I like to do that. I like to just, you know, go right up to somebody and say, hey, you know, like, because if you give somebody a chance to
think
about
it. Yeah, you are so good
it,
at that. I am so bad at that. You're so
you know,
good just walking
I'm
up to people
short,
and making small talk.
Yeah, I'm short and they don't see me coming. And then all of a sudden I'm just like right there. I'm like, hey, I'm Momo. So, you know, like I do it all like friendly.
Yeah, no, you're so good at that. You're so good at that small talk. All right, coming up next for you, what is a Karen? What is a Karen? And I think I've got an example of one I want to play coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, what is up? It is Monday, and everybody is here and accounted for. John Ireland is off playing golf. Of course he is at Pebble Beach, which is super fancy, right? It's a super fancy one, hard to get on unless you're John Ireland.
Yeah, well, he knows people. I heard your podcast with him, and his golf game sounds amazing.
His golf game does.
Wow, like they play at that, what is it, Westgate or West something?
Mountain Gate.
I got in the ballpark there.
The Mountain Gate Mafia, I call them. The Mountain Gate
kind
Mafia.
Kind of amazing, all these, I mean, that's like his brush with fame.
Yeah, it absolutely is every single day. Yeah. So there is a lovely young Karen who showed up at the Trader Joe's the very first day it opened in Hollywood. Funch, do you have this?
North Hollywood.
This is day one. This is opening day of Trader Joe's in North Hollywood. This is Karen.
And by the way, just wear a friggin' mask. I mean, it's not really that hard. This woman shows up at a crowded Trader Joe's and doesn't wear a mask, and thinks she has some sort of special purpose for not wearing a mask. Just do it. Do it. I'm so tired of the people who say, I just won't wear one. Why? Why will you not wear one?
So somehow in this country, we have adopted an attitude towards masks that it feels like somebody's robbing you of your personal freedom. Like there's something, it's somehow become associated with people. It's not just, I thought it was about people telling you what to do. People don't like to be told what to do.
Correct.
Americans like to voluntarily comply. We like to be like, you appeal to our sense of, like, if we could make mask wearing about freedom and somehow make it a positive thing, I think we'd be in a better place. It is.
It is
about freedom, because the more we wear a mask, the more free we're going to be. You can go do
exactly.
way more
Yeah,
things.
It's the way we're all going to get free is by all of us wearing masks and cleaning this
somehow
stuff
we have
up.
To turn this around, right?
Yeah.
Somehow we have to completely change what has been turned into an anti-freedom thing. Somebody telling you to put on your mask. I mean, you know, Mace, you know what it reminds me of is my Daniel doesn't like to wear any kind of socks or shoes. Okay. He likes to go barefoot. And every day we have a little fight about the socks and shoes. And it's like, I can't just let the kid go barefoot on the pavement. He's going to, like, you know, I mean, a little bit, but like there's rocks and he's going to cut his toe. It's hot, you know? So now the thing that has worked is I take his little Elmo doll and I say, I'm going to put some socks on Elmo. Look, Elmo wears socks. And then as soon as I do that, Daniel's, okay, I'll put my socks on. Because it's okay.
Well, you're a mom. You're allowed to say, just do it.
Yeah, well, no, I try, but he kicks and screams and we wake up the whole neighborhood. Everybody thinks I'm like, oh, it's crazy. So,
okay, so dial this back, dial this back. Let's go to the Karen part of this.
Okay.
Here's lady, special privileged lady. She's wearing a mask or not wearing a mask in a Trader Joe's. Everybody starts berating her and she thinks she's got special rules. Explain what a Karen is.
Okay. To me, a Karen is, Karens are middle-aged white ladies, right?
That's correct.
I think somewhere between, do we want to call them 30 to 55? No, 30 to 45, let's say. Because I think you're a Susan if you're over 45. And you're probably a Becky if you're under 30, maybe.
Okay. So there's a Susan. These names are now ruined. Susan, Becky, and Karen.
Yeah. I think that I think it's somebody who is, it's usually a white woman, and there's two versions of Karen. The most toxic version is the Karen that you saw in Central Park who got really upset about the dog.
Called for the police,
called for the police when, you know, the guy said, can you put your dog on a leash? And she just freaked out and started saying, I'm going to tell them there's a black man who's, you know, threatening me.
Harassing me.
So that's the worst kind of Karen, because that's the racial stereotype. That's the racial, you know, scared white woman of the black people. I mean, that's the worst. Okay.
Yeah, and that's the worst.
That has
absolutely
historical connotations all the way back to slavery, where it's, I mean, that is a horrible archetype that has continued
on. We agree on that. And that should be separated from this particular conversation.
Yeah. That's a more toxic kind of Karen. Okay.
Because what we're talking about is just ladies who expect things to go their way and get really pissed off when it doesn't go their way.
Exactly.
Right?
And it's just sort of this entitlement. And I feel like now there's not just Karens, but I've had a couple of Karen moments. I know when I did it. I was really embarrassed.
When were you a Karen?
I was a total Karen at the Burbank Airport once, going through TSA. And, you know, at the main terminal, they have pre-check. And I'm just like one of those people. I've got my airport routine down. I travel
you've
so
got
much.
TSA pre, you've got all that stuff.
All this stuff. I know I have my route. I know exactly where to park to where and which door to enter that I can be from my valet parking and I walk in and because the valet at Burbank, by the way, it costs the same as the offsite parking. You should always valet there. It's way better.
You
go there, you walk in through the door that's by the baggage claim, so you cut off 3 minutes right there if you don't go all the way to the front. Then you go right to your pre-check.
Boy, you've
go
like
in.
Hacked this airport.
Oh, I'm down. Okay, I'm solid. And I had a flight on the second terminal, and they don't always have pre-check there. It's about, you know, 50-50. And I just think that's not right. I think you should have it in both terminals. You know,
I got to be honest. I've probably been a little Karen in this same situation.
Yeah. So I get over there, and I go, oh, I'm pre-check. And they go, oh, there's no pre-check here. And I said, oh, but I pack for the pre-check because I have everything set up the same way. Like I don't take out my toiletries into the little baggie because I'm pre-check. So now I'm like, oh, I'm screwed. I'm gonna have to take out all my, you know, contact lens stuff. I'm not packed this. You're screwing up my whole system. And I think it was because they didn't empathize with me. Like there was no like, sorry about that. We don't always.
People at the airport are so tired of people complaining to
them.
Yes, I feel so
not
sorry for those gate agents. Don't you know? Don't you realize my daughter's wedding is tomorrow? It's like, what am I supposed to
do?
I'm the lady behind the counter. I can't make the plane go any faster.
I know, and I think it was like the guy gave me a little attitude when I said this isn't pre-check, and I said he goes, well, hold this and show it to him, and then you don't have to take your shoes off. And I was like, but I still have to take my laptop out and all my toiletries and have to, and I think I had like my breast pump and all that.
You were a pain in the ass.
I was like, I hope nobody saw that. I hope nobody had a cell phone camera on me. I was like, I was a Karen before we called it a Karen. And I was like, that was not a good moment, Ramona.
Well, see,
you should not do that.
Pre-check is a thing. I mean, if you've gone through the process of going through pre-check, right?
Yeah.
You went to the airport. You got your pictures taken. You've got your fingerprints. You've gone through a background check. You've done all this stuff. And you expect that to pay off in some way. And so it has happened to me at an airport before where they just say, nope, we don't have anything for TSA pre. And I'm like, what kind of airport is this? What kind of airport doesn't have something for TSA pre? Like, I actually went through this whole process to get this, and now I don't get TSA pre. Now, I don't complain to anybody at the airport, because I can't blame that guy at the...
I know.
At the metal detector, what's he supposed to do? I mean, he's just doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. So I don't believe in complaining at people at the airport. In fact, it's a pet peeve of mine. The people who complain at people at the airport, I think, are just jerks. Because everybody's just trying to do their job. They've heard every single complaint in the book.
Yeah.
And there's only so much that they are capable of doing. So the bitching and moaning at the airport drives me crazy. So it sounds like I would have been annoyed by you that day.
You probably were. And I think I went over to them afterwards and I was like, I'm sorry. I'm just so used to having this down that I was annoyed. And they were like,
sorry. Okay.
I felt really bad. I mean, I was like, you know, how you catch yourself. You're like, whoa, I just really, I mean, I don't want to say, we used to call it something else. There was, I'm not going to say this lady's name. Okay. But there was a former high profile, like, reporter who had a moment in the parking lot. And it kind of got caught on viral video, if you remember that, a few years ago.
No.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Lindsay,
can I say
who
it is?
No, don't, because I don't want to make a head. I'm going to text you. But I just felt like, I just felt
it
like.
Was it somebody that worked for us?
She works there. Yeah. She had
doesn't
work Karen
for us anymore.
A Karen
total
meltdown.
Karen moment. And it happens. And every once in a while, you just go like, yeah, that was not good. That didn't, like, you have to always say to yourself, you know, am I doing this? Like, if I was watching myself behave this way, how would I see it?
Right.
You have to, like, step out of yourself and look. And I think that there's something about, there's different Karens. There's different, the toxic racist Karens. Those are the irredeemable ones.
Yeah, right.
There's the,
like the guy said, like the woman in Central Park.
Central Park. No, it's just not okay. Then there's the North Hollywood Karen at the Trader Joe's who just, I think she was looking to make a scene, though, because I read something that she walked into the store, was wearing her mask, and then as soon as she got inside, took the mask off and started throwing stuff and then and like started to, you know, getting upset. And she didn't put anything in her cart the whole time. She was like holding that hand cart, you know, that you have, just the single thing. And she was holding that the whole time and she never put anything in. So she was kind of looking to instigate something. She was looking for someone to come stop her. And cause a scene. And I don't know why we've associated masks with a lack of freedom. We need to turn that around. The more, if you want to have football in September, wear a mask now.
Yeah, somebody says, this is good. The narrative needs to be focused towards the religious population. The golden rule, you're not protecting your neighbor, not saving yourself. You're protecting your neighbor, not saving yourself. Yeah, that's the thing. You're doing it for other people. And so it's kind of, it's selfish to not wear a mask. Selfish. All right, coming up next for you, got The Scoop, which is all the headlines for the day that we haven't gotten to yet. And I keep messing up his name. Is it Scott Cooper?
Scott Miller, Bleacher Report.
There is a Scott Cooper, though. There's a Scott Howard Cooper.
Scott Howard Cooper, that's right.
That's what May says.
I got you. Hey, and guess what? When we come back, by the time we come back from break, Momo is going to probably have some breaking news to fill you in on.
Nice. Okay, good. That's coming up for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.